Hello, Internet friend. I'm David Revelle, and this is ValueSign for Tuesday, April 25. For all of our articles and podcasts, visit ValueSign.com. Well, today, when a vaccine goes wrong, the story of Qatar Labs. Well, in 1955, I was in first grade, waiting to receive my polio vaccine. I wasn't thrilled. I stood in the longest line I'd ever seen, waiting for the shot. I didn't know much about polio, but it had my parents on edge. A week before, the school principal sent home a letter, explaining to my mother and father that unless they objected, students at Wayside School would get the shot. Only one boy in my class objected, and he would sit out the ordeal in the principal's office. The rest of us would roll up our sleeves and get the needle. I remember it as a solemn affair. No talking was allowed, and there were a couple of sniffles as students got the injection, but most of the kids were as quiet as church mice. Polio was a disease that plagued the country for years. A generation before, in the 1930s, President Franklin Roosevelt used a wheelchair after suffering from polio. For my parents, polio was one of their most significant fears. Roosevelt, like us kids, was an avid swimmer. At the time, we thought there was a connection between swimming and polio. Naturally, parents welcomed this new Salk vaccine as protection from the dreaded disease. That's why nearly every student in my school received the vax. Unfortunately, that sense of safety disappeared in a few months later when specific doses of the Salk vaccine had an issue. These labs produced the Salk vaccine using actual, but now dead, animal polio virus. It's called the dead virus method, and the problem was that not all of the viruses used had been dead. Six labs produced the polio vaccine under what were supposed to be clinically safe procedures. Regrettably, that was not true for Berkeley, California-based Qatar Labs. Qatar was responsible for sending their labs to the Midwest, and after rumors surfaced of unsafe conditions in Qatar Labs, government inspectors discovered that their vaccines contained live polioviruses, viruses that would not prevent polio, but instead would infect people with polio. Many in the Midwest did get the disease. Although most cases were mild, the impact on the country was substantial. Dr. Howard Markle, writing in The New Yorker, estimates that up to 70,000 received a mild case of polio, with 200 permanently paralyzed and 10 dead, all from the Qatar vaccine. In 1955, the Salk vaccine used real-world polioviruses to produce a vaccine using a traditional method. Today, another pandemic is sweeping the nation, and another vaccine is being used to halt this deadly spread. But this new type of vaccine is as different from the traditional vax as night and day. Today's modern COVID vaccine doesn't use viruses to generate the vaccine. This new COVID vaccine is, in fact, a gene therapy. Instead of viruses, it utilizes messenger RNA to encourage our bodies to produce an internal reaction that in turn will kill the COVID virus. There is no possibility of the same kind of live virus accident that happened back with the Qatar Labs. As I understand it, the entire developmental process for the COVID-19 vaccine was computer-generated. But regrettably, just like the polio vaccine, today's COVID vaccine also has seen its share of death and injury. The Qatar polio vaccine is estimated to have injured 70,000. Today's VAERS reports, the Vaccine Adverse Events Reporting System, indicates that the COVID-19 vaccine has harmed 1.5 million. The Qatar vaccine permanently disabled 200. Today's COVID vaccine reports 197,000 hospitalized. But perhaps most important, the Qatar polio vaccine contributed to the death of 10. Today's COVID vaccine has contributed to the demise of over 35,000. Understandably, With that number of injuries from the polio vaccine, several lawsuits were filed against Qatar Labs and the other vaccine makers. Those lawsuits provided interesting precedents, which will likely reappear in today's current lawsuits. The courts ruled that while the vaccine makers could be held financially liable, they were not criminally negligent. The rulings limited the awards against Qatar to merely financial, a critical consideration for the family-owned Qatar, which as a private company had nowhere near the assets of a modern-day Pfizer or Johnson & Johnson. Qatar Labs continued their business for nearly 20 more years, and then in 1974, Qatar Labs merged with German pharmaceutical giant Bayer for an undisclosed amount. Currently, there are a couple of avenues for the vaccine injured looking for compensation. First and foremost is the National Vaccine Injury Compensation Program, administered by the Health Resources and Services Administration. But don't expect to get a quick resolution in your claim. Today, over 11,000 claims have been filed, but only about one-tenth have been resolved. Now, according to the National Law Review, over 11,000 lawsuits have been filed because of vaccine injury, but the lion's share of these are against employers for mandating their workers take the shot. The huge issue is whether the COVID makers themselves can be sued. As part of the Emergency Use Authorization, the federal government exempted these companies, Pfizer, Johnson & Johnson, Moderna, and the others, from legal liability. However, several lawsuits underway challenge that exemption, and I believe we will see this issue settled by the Supreme Court. Now, there is a vast difference between the federal government of the mid-20th century and the beginning of the 21st century. After reports of the polio vaccine injuries emerged, the federal government back then immediately suspended all distribution of the vaccine in April of 1955, and the vaccines were not allowed to resume distribution until the authorities were satisfied of their safety and efficacy, to use today's language. Today's regulators, however, the FDA and all the rest, assure us that things are safe and effective. Take our word for it. One strategy proactively protected the public, the other simply a reaction. Although nearly everything else has changed, the technology, the medical science, and the nature of vaccines, still, the process of lining up to get your jab remains eerily similar to long ago. And that's The Value Side for Tuesday, April 25. For all of our articles and podcasts, visit ValueSide.com. I'm David Revell. Value Side is independently researched and written. The views expressed are strictly my own.